came and spoke to our Congress about the dangers of Iran and their nuclear program. And I'm going to address that biblically. And I'm going to address what he said, and then I'm going to tell you what the Scripture says about Iran and potentially what they might be involved in the future, because Iran is in the Scripture. You should know that Iran is Persia in the Old Testament. Persia was one of the oldest kingdoms going. It went all the way back to 3200 B.C., but its most glorious days were from 538 B.C. when they conquered the Iraqis or the Babylonians and until 333 when Alexander the Great conquered them. They've had a profound impact on our world, and they will have a profound impact in the future. Benjamin Netanyahu, I took an excerpt from his speech, and I took it not from the fact of anything political, but I was kind of astounded by what he said and how it fits into the biblical prophecies. Here's what he said. We are no longer scattered among the nations, powerless to defend ourselves. We've been studying that, right? Who said they would come back? God did, right? Not because of who they were or how great they were, but because of his holy name. Ezekiel 36. We restored our sovereignty in our ancient home. Been out of their land from 70 AD until late 1800s. And the soldiers who defended our home have boundless courage. For the first time in 100 generations, we, the Jewish people, can defend ourselves. I wouldn't want to go up against them, sort of like Gideon and the 300, right? And the Midianites. This is why, as Prime Minister of Israel, I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand. Wow, what a statement. What a statement. What a prophetic statement. Because they will. The Scripture says, but I know that Israel does not stand alone. I know that America stands with Israel. I know you stand with Israel. And the people who hurt him probably do. It's those who didn't show up and criticized them that don't. Yes, Ed. Netanyahu is the leader of the free world. That's an interesting statement. Their existence is on the line. And I understand their passion. In what way is it on the line? Because Iran will destroy them if they can. That's why it's on the line. I will talk about that in just a second. I want you to understand what Israel is up against. Because we don't often think in terms of this country that's the size of New Jersey or El Salvador. A tiny country in the middle of this. These are their enemies. Most of these countries have sworn to annihilate the Jews. They don't want just their land. They want them. You remember what Dennis Prager said? One side wants the other side what? Dead. And that one side are the Islamists who want, and the Arabs, so forth, want the state, by the way, is right here, this little star. In fact, that star is bigger than Israel actually is. Netanyahu said in the past, speaking on the 65th anniversary of the liberation of the Nazi concentration camp at Auschwitz in Poland last week, Israel Prime Minister Benjamin, and the name is spelled different, but Netanyahu, proclaimed the fulfillment of the prophecy, Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones. The Jewish people rose from the ashes and destruction from a terrible pain that can never be healed, Netanyahu said at the ceremony, armed with the Jewish spirit, the justice of man, and the vision of prophets. We sprouted new branches and grew deep roots. Now, he left out somebody in that equation. He left God out of that equation, didn't he? Dry bones have become covered with flesh. A spirit filled them, and they lived on and stood on their own feet as Ezekiel prophesied. What does that tell you? Where is he talking about? Ezekiel 37, thank you. Netanyahu, by the way, often quotes the scripture in his speeches. From his youth, he has been a student of the Tanakh, or the Hebrew Bible, or Old Testament, which records the history of Israel and his people. Like many Israelis, both Bibi and Sarah, Netanyahu, come from families who made Bible study a priority in their home. Isn't that interesting? He has a biblical perspective, yet he does not have apparently a relationship with the true and living God. What's he talking about? The Valley of the Dry Bones in Ezekiel 37. Well, I'm going to explain it to you, David. Yeah, probably more than you want to know or can remember. Anyway, it's been my experience. Repetition is good, is it not? All right. In Ezekiel 37, the picture of the actual event that happens, it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones." Not a very attractive sight, right? "And he caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there was very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?'" Now, Ezekiel is a prophet, is he not? And he is seeing a vision of a valley full of dead bones. Let's put it in context. Chapter 37 comes after chapter 36. Now, what does that mean? What was last week's study on? See what I mean? Chapter 36. And why? Amazing. And why did I say that God is going to bring Israel back into the land? Because of his reputation. He said, "It's not for your sake, O Israel, that I'm about to act. For the sake of my holy name, for my reputation, I'm going to bring you back." In fact, he says over and over again, "You're not the reason I'm doing this." In other words, because you're secularist and atheist and you're not really the best of people in this world, but for the sake of what? My name, and for the sake of what else? There's two aspects. My promise to what? The fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For their sake, I made a commitment to them. I made a promise to them. In the same way as we as Christians, Jesus made a promise to us. If we'll put our faith, our trust in him, and his death and resurrection on our behalf, he'll give us eternal life. And by the way, if he didn't forget Israel after 2,000 years, he's not going to forget you. Right? So you'll be there if you put your trust in him. Now, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, thou knowest." That usually means I don't have a clue. Right? You know, because I don't. Then he said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Now, in chapter 36, he says, "I'm about to act for the sake of my name." And then he says, "I'm going to call you back into the land, and I'm going to rebuild the cities, and you'll have a land that is like the Garden of Eden." You remember that? We looked at last week. Now, and he says, "Thus says the Lord God to these bones, because I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life, and I will put sinews on you and make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin and put breath in you that you may come alive, and you know that I am the Lord." When this happens, they will begin to know. Yes, Greg. Oh, yes. Bibi, Greg says that he thought he heard, and he did, heard correctly. Netanyahu had made a commitment of $48 million to any of the Jews in Europe who wanted to return to Israel. He would help finance their way to get there. Yeah. They take their shekels with them, right? And their abilities, absolutely. Yes, that's going on. Look, I don't care what you think about prophecy in the Bible, but you are living in amazing times. You are watching a miracle take place right before your very eyes. Yes, Richard. Wow, some rabbi in, where was it, in the Netherlands? encourage the people to go to Israel or the United States. I'd tell them to skip the United States and go to Israel. I'm not sure of our future right now with the way we're going. We've studied the fact that whoever blesses you will be blessed, speaking to Abraham, whoever curses you. And as we turn against Israel, I'm not excited about our prospects. Yes, David. Can I expound on the can I talk? Yeah, well, you know I can talk. Whether I can talk correctly is another thing. How are we turning against Israel? When you take the side of your enemies, of their enemies, you are turning against Israel. When you negotiate with a terrorist state like Iran, you're turning against Israel. When you supply weapons to the enemies of Israel, you're turning against Israel. When you refuse to meet and try to shame the Prime Minister of Israel, you're turning against Israel. Yes, Clarissa. I don't know if he said that or not. The question is, did he say we'll shoot down their planes? Look, we're living in a very tenuous time. And assuming I have the time, I'll show you why. Yes, Roland. Okay, go listen. Yeah. Yes, Sandy. This is not a political bashing class, by the way. What we're talking about is I believe that God is the one who selects our leaders. He made that apparently clear to Nebuchadnezzar in 7 years of eating grass, all right, that he might realize that God sets up the kings. The scripture also says that God's king's heart is in his hands. It's like a river. He turns it in whatever direction he wants it to go. What's going on is bigger than any personality, and it's bigger than any administration. What you see happening is very clear to me that you see the world turning to bring about the ultimate world kingdom prophesied by Daniel in the book of Revelation, which is an Islamic kingdom which will ultimately rule the world and face Jesus Christ at Armageddon. Now that will ultimately get there. Sandy? Okay. I don't recall that. The sign of disrespect to have your feet on the desk. While he's talking to Netanyahu. Okay. Yeah. I hope I answered your question, David. It's all over the place. We are not supporting Israel right now. We are warning them not to interfere. Let me assure you of something. Well, right. He also talked about what he had done for him. Yes. Yes, Jim. Okay, I don't know what that was. Okay, well, there's a problem here, right? But let's get a bigger picture. The bigger picture is that we are Israel's greatest ally, and we are the number one military nation in the world that could protect Israel. But God has said, centuries before, 2,600 years before, that in fact, all nations would stand against Israel. He's going to demonstrate that he is capable of protecting them. Now, no matter what your political thoughts are, what you should be doing is watching it in the context of not politics, but in the context of what God is accomplishing throughout what he's doing in this world. The scripture said, did I read this already? You got me sidetracked. Yeah, I did. Ezekiel 37:7 says this, "So I prophesy as I was commanded, and I prophesy there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded them, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Now, most commentators believe that Ezekiel 37 is talking about a national resurrection of Israel. And Netanyahu has said this has happened in his lifetime, and I believe it has. Others would say, well, maybe it's also a physical resurrection, because Daniel 12 tells us that at the end of the tribulation period, Israel will be resurrected. The only problem is 37 comes before 38. Now, I know you know that. It's important. Now, you know your numbers, yeah. You have to know what's in the numbers to know. Now, there was a song made about these bones. Them bones, them dry bones. You heard that song? Yeah, well, no, I'm not going to sing it, no. Don't you hear the word of the Lord? Toe bone connected to the foot bone? Foot bone connected to the leg bone? Leg bone connected to the knee bone? Huh? No, I'm not going to sing. It goes all the way to your head bone. Some bones are solid bones, but the, right? Anyway, I just think that's funny. That's where that song came from, by the way, Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37 says this. This is what God says to Ezekiel about what all this means. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is perished. We are completely cut off. Were they? Absolutely. Israel did not have a nation. Israel didn't have a money. Israel had a language, but they were scattered throughout the world. Their entire hope had been cut off and they perished. Their hope of going back and having a land and a kingdom and a king to rule over them in the form of David and his household, all of that had been cut off, and they had nothing. And he says, they said, we are completely there cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God. Whenever you read that, just substitute Jesus. Thus said Jesus. All right. Behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. We've watched that happen, haven't we? It's what Netanyahu has said has happened. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come out of your graves, my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your land. Remember, on your own land. Remember, we talked about the fact that Israel was promised the land. Excuse me. And that the fact that prophecy often has a gap in fulfillment. You can have a prophecy that has a time frame in between. So what we see happening today is we see Israel being gathered back into the land. They started officially, as I told you, because a Jewish guy, forgotten his name now, entered into an agreement with the British Parliament. It was called the Balfour Declaration, that allowed Israel to return back to the land that we call today Palestine. Sandy? Huh? I don't know. I don't know. Can't remember what his name was. All right. Wiseman, the first. Thank you, Roger. Wiseman, the first prime minister of Israel. He had the formula TNT. Was that after a state? Yeah, I guess. 1918 is when the Balfour, yeah, thereabouts, or 1918. You know, 48, May 14th, 1948 is when Israel was declared a nation. In fact, in Isaiah, it says, who can believe such a thing? Who can believe such a report? Can a woman come to the point and not give delivery? Who can believe it? A nation can be born in one day? Well, the United Nations declared Israel to be a nation in May 14th, 1948. Harry Truman a Democratic president at that time was the one responsible for getting it approved, because America has such a profound impact on the United Nations. Why did that happen? Why was it that the United Nations approved this? Well, prophecy would be one answer, yes. What was going on in the world in the 40s? World War II, and there had been murdered how many Jews? 6 million, and they didn't even believe it or not. In fact, the Iranian, Ahmadinejad, says that it never happened, despite the pictures. And many people did not believe that they were actually doing this, but they murdered 6 million Jews, which created, again, this is a point, God chooses leaders, right? God chose a man like Adolf Hitler, who was despicable, demon-possessed, to bring about a scenario where the world would be sympathetic for one time toward the Jewish people and allow them to become a state, a nation. Yes, Prolog. All right, Prolog's saying that the United Nations gave the authority to rebound. There were a lot of them under British rule. They did redraw a bunch of boundaries. I think India was in that too, right? Okay. Yeah, they're not Jewish. Yeah. Hey, Randy. All right. Having a problem with the verse. Okay. He has placed him on their own land. All right. All right. All right. I will put my spirit within you. That's called the new covenant. We are engrafted into the new covenant. We call our New Testament the new covenant, right? And we have come and been engrafted into the root of Abraham, into the vine of, not root, root of Abraham. And we are saved because of Abraham and his lineage. But when he talks about the new covenant, that's one of the four we talked about. You remember? That covenant has not been fulfilled. That covenant will not actually take place until near the end of the tribulation, when they realize that Jesus Christ is their Messiah. That's when they come to a saving faith. And Zechariah tells us that they are going to mourn for, over the one that they pierce. So the confusion is, why isn't it happening today, right? And the answer is, what you see happening today is a partial fulfillment, but there will be an ultimate fulfillment in the future. No, he's not making an exception. Let's see if I can straighten this out. I caused the confusion. Now I forgot the question. Let's see. Forgot the answer to the question. One of the interesting things is this passage is usually referred to as bringing them out of the nations. But I could also read into this passage an actual resurrection of Israel. And if you go to Daniel chapter 12, it says this. Yeah. Right. And that's the traditional interpretation of that. Remember, there can be a dual aspect of prophecy. Wait a minute, there's no network connection. Who's got a Bible? You Gideon's got a Bible? You better say yes, Bob. My electronic version isn't working. 12, 2, I believe it is. Yeah, a real Bible. Just stand up, Tom, and read it. Many of those who sleep in the dust. All right, so what does that say? These will be raised from the grave. This is a literal resurrection. So the answer might be, Randy, I'm not trying to weasel on you, but the answer might be that you have a dual application here. You have a resurrection to the land and also a physical resurrection. And the reason I said this is before 38 is because 38 is where Armageddon takes place, which is associated with their actual discovery of who Jesus is. Yes, Jim. Boy, okay. Remember, prophecy, you can have two different concepts. One is a gap concept. You can have 2,000 years between a prophecy. For example, where it says a son is born into us and a government will rest on his shoulders, there's a 2,000-year break in there. And the second aspect is there can be a near and a far fulfillment. There can be two ultimate fulfillments. The ultimate fulfillment could be a physical resurrection, but I don't know that. I mean, I don't know that. I know what Connie gave us, what most commentators say, that they're coming out of the ground. Now, the question is, Israel is there. The world threatens to destroy them. Will the world prevail? Here's what Amos says. Also, I will restore the captivity of my people Israel, and they will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will also plant vineyards and drink their wine. And make gardens and eat their fruit. I also will plant them on their land, and they will not again be rooted out from their land which I have given them, says Jesus, the Lord your God. So, how long are they there for? They're there forever. Now, there is one break. In Revelation chapter 12, when the angels of Lucifer or Satan go against the angels of Michael, and Satan is cast to this earth, the scripture says that Satan it says basically that you should rejoice because, oh heavens, the accuser of our brother has been cast down. Now, most people think that it's already happened, but it hasn't. It happens in the tribulation period. And when it happens, Satan and his angels, which are supposedly a third of all angelic beings, are locked into this earth and they can't travel anymore in the atmosphere. Just think about how upset they're going to be. And what is their first act? To try to destroy Israel. And the scripture says, and I'm not sure how to coordinate this with Amos, but it says, in fact, that Satan is going to pour out a river after them to try to destroy them, but God is going to give them two wings of an eagle so that they might escape, and the ground is going to open up and take the floodwaters, so forth. Then it says, so Satan was mad with the rest of their offspring, which are the Gentiles who come to Christ during that time. Jim. There are born again, yes. Yes. It's not totally, yes. There are Jews being saved. And according to the scripture, I believe that's in Zechariah, there will be a judgment of Israel because the Daniel 12:2 that Tom read states that some will be resurrected to life and others to what? Eternal death. All right. So the scripture says that only one third of the Israel will actually enter into the kingdom. Two thirds will not. They will come under the rod, is what it says. Okay. Now, but they are permanent in the land. Zechariah 12 says this. Thus declares the Lord, who stretches out the heavens and lays the foundations of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. So he's what? He is God the Creator. He is in absolute and total control. He knows everything. Behold, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes reeling to all the peoples around. Does that happen? Reeling. To and fro. They're upsetting. Perplexing. Can't solve it. What's the biggest issue today in the world? Jerusalem. And who controls it? Who wants it? The Islam, Christianities, and Jews. What's there? Temple Mount, the land where Jesus walked. The Dome of the Rock. It is the focus of an entire world, and what do you do with Jerusalem? They want to internationalize it, and the Palestinians say what? No, we want it. It's ours. We've had it. Interesting. It is causing all of the world to reel. And then it says, and when the siege is against Jerusalem, it will be against Judah. In other words, in the end times, there will be a siege of all nations around Israel. In fact, that's what this says. It will come about on that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. In other words, they can't lift it, they can't move it, they don't know what to do with it. It's a big problem. And all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. So here's the picture. There's coming a time when Netanyahu's world, right, anything you try to do to Jerusalem, why is that? It's God's city, right? It's His. Yes, sir. Cheryl. I did not hear all of it. I read all of it. Yes, I did. Right. Oh, well. Cheryl said when they latched on to the image of Moses in its speech. I don't know if I have that. I have another quote from him that I'm going to get to in a second. But, yeah, you notice he had several references in his speech to biblical events. Yeah, it's on YouTube. It's 45 minutes long, I think. You got that? If you got that much attention, okay. The attention span. And all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. In other words, the picture is right before Jesus returns, all the nations of the earth will be gathered to wipe out Israel. That's a sad day, except it's probably the most exciting day of the history of man. When I see the clouds open, the sky open, and there's the one that sits on the white horse whose name is faithful and true. And with righteousness he wages war. Because when they decide to destroy Israel, they're picking on his people. I've told you over and over again, the church is important. We're the bride of Christ. But the real focus of biblical prophecy is Israel. Yes, Sandy. Well, they'll take Moses down when they figure it out, huh? Yeah, Jimmy. Right, if they knew their history. Yeah, if they knew the history of Israel, if they knew the history of the Palestinians, they would know. Because the Palestinians are not historical people. The word Palestine came from the word Philistine. And they are not indigenous to the area. They, in fact, came in when Israel came back into the land because of their hatred for the Jews. We covered all that. Here's a second quote from his speech. We're an ancient people with nearly... In our nearly 4,000 years of history, many have tried repeatedly to destroy the Jewish people. Is that true? Absolutely. Tomorrow night, he says, on the Jewish holiday of Purim, we'll read the book of Esther. Another biblical reference. Purim is a holiday for the Jews, celebrating the destruction of Haman, who tried to annihilate every Jew in what country? Persia, thank you. We'll read of a powerful Persian viceroy named Haman, who plotted to destroy the Jewish people some 2,500 years ago. It was actually 2,330, but who's counting? But a courageous Jewish woman, Queen Esther, who was Jewish, exposed the plot and gave the Jewish people the right to defend themselves against their enemy. Their plot was foiled. Our people were saved. He has a perspective, a God perspective, but he just needs to understand why. He needs to understand the God of the Bible who did that. Prola? All right, yes, to India. Yes, they were. And he was going to destroy every one of them. Every one of them was going to die. He just didn't know the queen was a Jew. It's a problem for him. And he didn't know, too, that Mordecai saved the king by telling him about a plot to assassinate him. Now, according to Wikipedia, and I know that's the foremost authority in the world, but it does have the best quotes. On August the 15th of 2012, during a meeting with the veterans of the Iran-Iraq War, Ayatollah Khomeini, you heard of him? Said that he was confident that the fake Zionist regime will disappear from the landscape of geography. In addition, on August the 19th, Khomeini reiterated comments made by President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. It took me a long time to learn to pronounce that. Which members of the international community, including the United States, France, European Union, Foreign Policy Chief Catherine Ashton, and United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, condemned, during which he called Israel a cancerous tumor in the heart of the Islamic world and said that its existence is responsible for many problems facing the Muslim world. Think about that. I'll tell you who's responsible. It's a guy named Ishmael. And God said about him that he would be a wild donkey of a man and that he would be against everyone and everyone would be against him. It was a great prophecy written 4,000 years ago. Can you imagine? This kind of stuff is repeated over and over again. More from Wikipedia. Amir Ali Hajjaj. Whatever. I don't know how you pronounce it. He's the chief of the Air Force in Iran. Threatened to attack Israel and trigger World War III, saying that it's possible we will make a preemptive attack which would turn into World War III. In the same statement, whatever his name is, threatened to attack American bases in the Middle East as well, and he said that as a result of this attack, Israel would sustain heavy damage and that it would be a prelude to its obliteration. Do you believe if Israel got the bomb, they would use it? And the answer is absolutely yes. I'm sorry, what did I say? Iran. Well, I have news for you. Israel has a bomb too. And they will use it if they're threatened. I don't know. He's chief of the Air Force in Iran. Is Iran mentioned in prophecy in the Bible? Persia is number one with Gog. Gog is a name for the Antichrist. And it says, I will turn you, Gog, the Antichrist, about and put hooks into your jaws, and I will bring you out and all your army and horsemen, horses and horsemen, all of them splendidly attired, a great company with buckler and shield, all of them wielding swords. First ally is who? Persia. Persia. And it says, or in Ethiopia and Put, which is Libya. That's interesting, isn't it? And with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer, which is Turkey, and with its troops, and Teth Garma, which is Turkey from the remotest parts of the north, with all its troops, many people with you. In other words, and they will surround, these nations surround Israel, like that map I showed you a while ago. Northern Africa, Iran, and also Turkey at the north. So all the way around. Yes, A.B., turn you around. God is going to pull them down into Israel. Right. And later it says in the chapter, you have devised an evil plan. Are you coming to collect spoil? Says Yemen and Oman. All right. Now, will they get the nuclear bomb? I don't know. But in this scripture, which 38 and 39 are dealing with Armageddon, and the ultimate destruction of Armageddon, or their destruction to Armageddon. God says, I will send fires upon Magog and those who inhabit the coastlands in safety. Now, Magog, historically, is Turkey. Who's in the coastlands of the Isles? That's us. That's South America, North America, Australia, all the other continents. All right? Historically. Could this be the bomb? For the Lord's indignation is against all the nation and his wrath against all their armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He has given them over to slaughter, so their slain will be thrown out. Will be thrown out, and the corpses will give off their stench, and the mountains will be drenched with the blood, and all the host of heaven will wear away, and the sky will be rolled up like a scroll. Now, they say that's what's happened in a nuclear explosion. It's also a reference on the sixth seal in Revelation to that. Where they get a bomb, I don't know. Whether God will allow them to use it, I don't know. What I do know is this, that as you watch your news today, you see the two of the major players in a standoff against each other. And I don't know how it's ultimately going to play out, but ultimately, Iran will join with Turkey and Libya, Ethiopia, and with many other nations, it says, to attack Israel. And when they do, God is going to annihilate them. Yes, Robin. That's right. It's northern Africa. Well, it is Ethiopia and Sudan together, that ancient area. Libya, it comes across North Africa all the way through Iran back up to Turkey. Where's Boko Haram? Is that Nigeria. Okay. How permanent is Israel? Listen to this. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that the waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order departs from me, declares the Lord, then the offspring of Israel also will cease from being a nation before me forever. In other words, what's the chances of that happening? Zero. And then he concludes, thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out below, then I will also cast off all the offspring of Israel for what they have done, declares the Lord God. What does all this mean? Israel is here to stay. Israel will win. But they're going to go through a lot of grief to get there. But what does it mean for you? One of the real benefits of understanding what God's doing is to look at your own life, make sure you put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you get ready because the rapture could break upon you at any time, even before lunch. But I prefer after lunch and a nap. See you next week. Or Jim, what? Oh, yeah. Thanks, guys. See you next week. Yeah, glad you came. Yeah, you bet. Bob, good to see you.